Good morning, everyone. We're coming to the end of our journey through Savitri. Today we will reach the end of this canto, of this book, of the poem. Last week we read in the epilogue how, as the dusk of the evening darkened, Savitri and Satyavan were returning through the forest when suddenly they heard a noise, an unaccustomed noise in the forest. And it became clear that this is many voices, human voices, and the sound of many feet. And then into view comes this brilliant, strenuous symbol of the crowded days of man, a big group of people, company, a great resplendent company arrived. And they are wearing gold-fringed headdresses and gold-embroidered robes and wearing ornaments. Hundreds of hands are parting the forest boughs. They are a search party. There are calm, white-clad priests, and there are strong warriors in their glorious, shining armor, and there are horses, proud, hooved steeds trampling through the wood. And in front, King Dyumatsena. He's no longer blind. He's no longer faltering as he walks. His far questing eyes have been restored to all their confidence in light, and they're taking in seeingly. He can consciously take in all this imaged outer world. So now, instead of feeling his way and being uncertain, he's again firmly treading the earth with monarch step, like the king that he is. And beside him is Satyavan's mother. Her appearance has also changed. She was always so careworn and anxious, but now her patient paleness wore a pensive glow, a thoughtful shine about her face. Sri Aurobindo compares it to the light of evening. It's a beautiful simile, that evening as it fades away is foreseeing the future, sunrise. This evening, this night, will give birth to a new sunrise. So she is looking forward to a new sunrise, and she's living a while to muse upon that hope. So she is the first one to notice Satyavan and Savitri, the mother's eyes. And when she sees them, everybody sees them, and everybody comes rushing. The air awoke, perturbed with scaling cries, and the swift parents come hurrying to their child. This child who is now the reason for them to go on living. They have given birth to him. He's their reason for living now. And we read how Dyumatsena scolds Satyavan tenderly. He says, "The fortunate gods have looked on me today. A kingdom seeking came. He's been invited to return to rule his kingdom. And heaven's rays, he's received back his sight. But where wast thou? Where were you? No? You have tormented gladness with fear's dull shadow. Oh, my child, my life. And what danger has kept you so late in these darkening woods? Or was it just that you were enjoying yourself so much that you forgot that my eyes, even if I can now see, that my eyes are useless if you are not there. They only rejoice at light because of you, Satyavan. And then Dyumatsena speaks to Savitri and said, this is not like you, Savitri. You would always be thoughtful and would bring your husband back to us. You know very well that unless he is there, we can't take food, and we're just living for his touch evening and morning. That's what we are living for. So I think we'll read on from there. Actually, we went a little further, but we can read on now from Satyavan's reply. It's on page 723, line 289. But Satyapan replied with smiling lip. Will you read, Anandi?
But Satyavan replied with smiling lips, lay all on her. She's the cause of all. With her enchantment, she has She has twined me round. Behold, at noon leaving this house of clay, I wandered in far-off eternities. Yet still, a captive in her golden hands, I tear your little hillock cold green earth, and in the moment of your transient sun, live glad among the busy words of men.
Thank you. It's a little humorous, no? He says, yes, blame her. It's all her fault. Well, she's the cause of all. She has twined me round, tied me up with her magical spell. But then he explains that at noon he has left his body and been wandering in far-off eternities, far away from the world. But because of her, because she has twined him round, I'm a captive in her golden hands. And here I am still walking on your earth, your little hillock, this little bump of earth called green earth. He's been wandering in eternities. When he comes back, the earth seems so small, but he's glad to be back, to live in the moments of your transient sun, your short-lived sun, which isn't eternal at all, no? But I'm glad to live among the busy works of men. So then everybody turns to look. I think it's referring to these eternities. He's been experiencing eternities. Now he's back on earth, and here we are lit by this sun, which will not last forever, which has a limited lifespan, and of course, which comes and goes. What? To be back, yes. So then they all turn and look at Savitri. Would you read, Rati? Will you read?
Then all turned their wandering looks where stood, deepening redder gold upon her cheeks, with lowered lids the noble, lovely child. And one consenting thought moved everybody, every breast. What gleaming marvel of the earth or skies stand silently but human, Satyavan, to mark a brilliance in the task of being. If this is she of whom the world has heard, wonder no more at any happy change. Each easy miracle of felicity, of a transmuting heart, alchemies.
Thank you. They have heard of Savitri. The world has heard of Savitri. But for these people, they are seeing her for the first time. And they can see at once that there's something very, very special about her. They see her as a gleaming marvel. Does she belong to the earth, or does she belong to the celestial worlds? There she is, standing silently by human Satyavan. And where she stands, there's a brilliance, there's a light around her in that evening dusk. So they all think the same thing. They think that, oh, if this is Savitri, if this is the person that we've heard about, this person, then let's not be surprised at any wonderful thing that happens. This wonderful restoration of full sight to King Dhyumatsena, this invitation to return to the kingdom, and now they hear that Satyavan had left his body and she has brought him back to them. Each miracle of felicity, each happy miracle is easy to her. It's the alchemy of her transmuting heart. That's what they're thinking when they see her. Yes, oh, we can understand that because of her, these marvelous changes have come about, and that dark things have been turned to gold. Alchemy means turning ordinary substances into gold, into the gold of the truth, light, and immortality.
I think it's interesting that they say the one of whom, she of whom the world has heard. Because I think in all the traditions, the Savior has always been depicted as a man.
Yes, but in this story, it is Savitri, yes. Yeah.
Why do you think she's described as a child?
She's very young. Maybe she's only 16 or 17. She's referred to as a child in a couple of places. Even death speaks to her, says child. Yeah. It's the sort of the traditional age for princesses to get married. She's just, when she reached that age, her father sent her out to find her husband. She found him. They'd been married just a year. So she's still very, very young. And perhaps Sri Aurobindo uses the word here as a contrast, no? To make, she's the savior of the whole earth, but she's just a young girl.
She's also realized her soul, so she's an eternal child.
In that way. Yeah. Shall we go on? Evelyn, would you read?
Then one spoke there between the priest and the sage. O woman soul, what light, what power revealed. Working the rapid models of this day opens for us by thee a happier age. Her lashes fluttering upwards gather in to a vision which hath scanned immortal things. Rejoicing, human forms for their delight, they claim for their deep childlike motherhood the life of all these souls to be her life. Then falling wailed the light, below the shield light. Awaken to the meaning of my heart, that to feel love and oneness is to live. And this, the magic of our golden change, is all the truth I know or see, O sage. Wondering at her and her two luminous words, westward they turn in the fast gathering night.
Thank you. So one of those people that company a person who seems to be a priest, a wise man, asks her, what is the power, what is the light of consciousness which has been able to bring about the rapid marvels of this day? They've come suddenly, all these things. And he recognizes that these rapid marvels have opened up for them a happier age. The return of Dhyumatsena and Satyavan to the kingdom, saving somebody from blindness, saving somebody from death. This must be a great power. And he asks, what is that power? What light, what power revealed opens for us by thee, through you? You are the instrument of that power that brings about for us a happier age. He sees it's a whole new era opening up for them.
He knows that Satyavan died.
Because Satyavan told them. Further up in the page, he says, behold, at noon, leaving this house of clay, I wandered in far off eternities.
So everybody
knows that he left his body and she has brought him back. So that's one of the rapid marvels of the day. So she has been looking down, no? Lowered lids, like a well-brought up princess. She is modestly looking downwards in this big crowd of people. But when he asks this question, then she looks up for a moment, her lashes fluttering upwards, gathered in to her vision which has seen immortal things. She's passed through all these amazing worlds and had so many experiences, no? But now her eyes are happy, they are rejoicing. They gather in the sight of all these human forms for their delight. And it's her eyes that are claiming for their deep, childlike motherhood the life of all these souls to be her life. She accepts them all to be part of herself. She will be their childlike mother. And then she looks down again. All these people, this big crowd of people, yes, who are representatives of the human race. And then she looks down again as she speaks. This is the answer that she gives. Awakened to the meaning of my heart, that to feel love and oneness is to live. And this, the magic of our golden change, is all the truth I know or seek, O sage.
More deep philosophy, just two simple words, short and sweet, like love and oneness.
Yes. Why do we have a heart, no? In order to feel love and oneness. No? And this deepest meaning of the heart, this is the magic that can bring about our golden change, this alchemy. Turn us ordinary human beings into pure gold.
I just read sourcing the oneness of the meeting in Ayurveda also, and exactly the same thing, the message, you know, they experience there is not our, by all this difference, that the love who embraces all, the love for all, that is the key to all comfort.
The key to world union.
Interesting, he addresses her here as O woman soul.
Yes,
sure. A few lines above, she was a noble, lovely child. So he's marking her maturity of soul. And then, but the fact that she's like a childlike mother, as you said, no? So she's on the border between childhood and motherhood, but her soul is able to feel love and oneness.
You'll remember when she was offered those boons by the Supreme Lord. It was the woman's soul that replied. Yes.
This week I put in the news, in Eurovision news.
Yes, I was just going to say this, that Ganga Lakshmi has put in the news today. We got it yesterday, I suppose. Yeah. This very special passage, yeah, in which Sri Aurobindo writes and the mother comments about his aphorism about turning to pure gold, that we have to, you know, in order to get the pure gold out of the rough ore, it has to be heated again and again. And the vessel that it is heated in is called the crucible. So each time it's heated, more impurities come out. So he says, humanity will have to pass through this crucible of suffering and difficulty again and again until it becomes pure gold. So these things seem to go together.
There's an exhibition now in the ashram on this divine alchemy by a Celtic artist from Wales, and she's expressed it so beautifully. You go there to go through that period of suffering. That's the cleansing. And then you emerge into this love and oneness. No?
And that this is an interesting question out of this context. Like, is it true that normally feminine in the next world takes a feminine, or it can be any feminine, any gender? Yeah, woman's soul from this.
Yes. I think in answer to this question, Mother said anything can happen, but that it is up to the soul to choose. And usually, as a normal thing, it will follow the same gender line, but it's not bound to do that. No. So they find it difficult to grasp what she has said, just as we do. No. Wondering at her and her two luminous words, dazzled by the light of the simplicity and straightforwardness of what she says. Westward they turned in the fast gathering night. This means they are leaving the forest. Dyumatsena has been living in his hermitage with his wife and son Satyavan on a slope of a northward-facing range of hills in the Himalayas, the borderline of his kingdom, the Shalva kingdom, the northern borderline. And now they are returning to the kingdom, so they have to turn west and then south in order to reach the capital city. And that's what's described in these next lines. Will you read?
Yeah. From the luminous rain. She brooded through her stillness on a tall
It's the perfect happy ending. Here it means that it's night. No, it has become night.
That is the outer moon.
Yes, and the earth is sleeping. Yes, but of course, yeah, the earth is unaware of what has happened. The earth is sleeping. Yeah, but they are traveling through these. Now they've left the forests. No? They've been freed from the entangling verges, the edges of the forest. They come out into the dimness of the sleeping earth. Those plains south of the Himalayan foothills are particularly wide open spaces. So now they are traveling through those plains which are sleeping because it is nighttime, nobody's about, even nature is sleeping. And they see them only faintly as they pass through. No? But they are making a noise. They are making murmur and movement and the tread of men and the neigh of steeds, the horses are neighing. This is a breaking that stillness and silence of the loneliness of the night. No?
It's
probably the earth does not know, but we have seen when Savitri returned from the higher planes, it was as if the earth embraced her. Yes? Yes. Yeah?
This line here, the last but one line, 345.
Yes.
Deep guarded by her mystic forms of light, not just any light, but a higher level of consciousness. Mm. Mystic forms.
Which line?
Last line,
3, 4, 5. Line 3. But Sri Aurobindo is revealing to us a mystery that we should remember, no? That night, at the beginning of the poem, night is represented as a deep, reluctant darkness, blocking progress, blocking the forward movement of the divine event. Now night has changed. It's become what it truly is, a density of light. And we can remember this riddle. It's a riddle, one of the riddles of the Sphinx, no? About the two sisters. There are two sisters. Or the question is, who are those two sisters, each of whom gives birth to the other? So it's so the day gives birth to the night, to the darkness, and the darkness gives birth to the night. But I feel that this last sentence, it's a summing up of the whole process. Now, we started with that foreboding mind of night and that reluctance to go back. No. But now, as they are returning through the night, it's a different kind of night altogether. It's night splendid with the moon dreaming in heaven. In silver peace, she possesses her luminous reign. I think this is a Vedic reference also, that there's not only the dark night, but there's the luminous nights. And this is her luminous reign. She's in possession now of that because of all that Savitri has done. So the night is brooding. She's going to give birth to something. In her, through her stillness, she's brooding on a thought which is she's keeping deep within her mystic folds of light. There's a new possibility, a seed that has been planted there. That's the seed of a greater dawn for the whole earth, for earth and man.
Yes.
24,000 lines. And we've completed this journey yet again. I think we started in 2012, Marie-Ange, you had the record. May 2012.
27 May.
We finished on 27th of May in 2012.
Yeah.
So.
We start. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. But only the ways of light have been marked out. It's in the gloom, the ways of light.
It's the stars. Every night, the stars, in the gloom, in the darkness of the sky, they mark the ways of light. The stars represent the many truths. They are the lights, the guiding lights. And even when there's night, if we can see the stars, and the moon is the reflected light of the sun, that also illumines us. But we started with a very, very, very dark night where there wasn't anything like that.
But every time we read Savitri, it'll be a greater dawn when we finish.
Yes. So I thought we would celebrate this completion. I'm proposing that I've asked Manohar to bring his camera, that we should take a group photograph of us all. But before we do that, I want to share something with you. Before, we'll do that later. Some people from the Netherlands who are reading Savitri regularly have had a beautiful inspiration. They have proposed that one of the ways we could celebrate the 50th anniversary of Auroville, that is next February, it would be by having a live, online, continuous, complete reading of Savitri, starting in the ashram, moving westwards with the sun, through as many countries where we can find readers, and end up here in Auroville. So we are inviting individuals and centers. So at the moment this project is called Savitri Goes Around the World, but we may modify this name slightly, no? So but the idea is that in February 2018, we don't know the exact dates yet, this event would take place over 2.5 days. Participants, Savitri lovers around the world, and this reading would happen wherever they are around the world, in places like this where Savitri lovers gather regularly, or individuals in their homes. We found one lady from Trinidad who is a great Savitri lover, and every year she starts at the beginning and finishes at the end within the year. Just by chance, we met this lady. So we told her about this idea, and she said, yes, yes, I want to be part of that. So there will be other people, I'm sure. No? And we hope to have here, we are anyway planning to have a big screen here, that this whole event could be heard and seen here in this hall, and recorded so it can go around the world in other ways. No? So the idea is to register anybody who's willing to participate, and we would then group them by country and centers, and the organizers will have to see how this can move smoothly on from the beginning to the end. Perhaps each participant reading about 10 minutes, 55, 60 lines, something like that. And so to make this happen, we need willing readers, we need coordinators for countries and centers, we need technical helpers, funds will also be needed. No? So if you are willing to participate and help, Yeti and Evelyn are here, and here Yeti has an address that to be contacted. Yes, tell us about it, Yeti.
Yes, well, there's one little correction.
Yes.
The ID came from a person from Chile, France, and Luxembourg.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I said that the inspiration came from the Netherlands, but it came from somebody in Pondicherry who lives in Luxembourg. Is it like that?
No. There were three people.
Three people. To three people from Pondy, France, and Luxembourg. A continuous reading.
Yeah, it started today or yesterday or something.
So we're not aware of that, but it's going on.
Good.
So all this, Mother has said that Savitri is a mantra for the transformation of the world. So all this Savitri reading here and everywhere, we hope that it's helping to counteract some of the terrible things that seem to be going on or threatening the earth at the moment. Yes. Passages from.
And suddenly, for this time, he appeared by reading when he registered. And he had another problem. People change totally, but I don't tell anything. I don't tell her anything, but he sustained the silence and no talking. And before he talking, when I hear him registered. But I don't tell anything, and now.
Sorry?
Today is Makali's birthday also, I think. They're celebrating around. So, if you can give us some idea of the mythology of Kali and Makali.
No,
I don't know much.
I'm not the right person for that. Okay. Only I know that Sri Aurobindo has expressed in his little book, The Mother, about the way that the Supreme Divine Shakti expresses herself in different aspects. And he particularly pinpoints four aspects, Maheshwari, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati. But he says there are others, but these four have in a way stood in front in the earth evolution. And I think he says there that of all the aspects of the mother, Mahakali has the deepest love and compassion, most powerful love and compassion. And somewhere the mother has said that people visualize Kali as a dark goddess and who has to be propitiated, but she says in that true Mahakali form, she is golden. That is her true light. That's all I can say.
And the people who practice magic also worship her more than other goddesses.
That is because she, the goddess, the Shakti, she has all the powers in her hands. No? So they want to make use of those powers. There's an interesting passage about that in Savitri, but we won't go into it now. So would you like to Manohar, how should we arrange ourselves? Everybody should come down and be close together. Yes. After that, we will listen. I would like to start here. This one, this one, this one, this one, four. I should move to that central part.
But Satyavan replied with smiling lips, lay all on her, she is the cause of all. With her enchantment, she has worn me out. Behold, at noon, leaving this house, I wander in far off eternity, yet still a captive in her golden hand. I tread your little pillow called Green Earth. Then one spoke there, who seemed a priest, and said, O woman's soul, what life, what power were we, working the rapid marvels of this day, opens for us by thee a happier age. Her lashes fluttering upward, gathered in to a vision which had scattered immortal things. Then, falling veil, the light flowed, she replied, awakened the meaning of my heart, that to feel love and oneness is to live. And this, the magic of our golden chain, is all truth I know or see, oh say. Wondering at her and her two luminous words, westward they turned in the fast gathering night, drawn by white maids upon a high old star, in flare of the unsteady torches went, with linked hands Satyavan and Savitri, hearing a marriage march and nuptial hymns, where waited them the many voiced human world. Numberless the stars swarm on their shadowy, in the gloom, the waves of light. Then, while they skirted with the southward, lost in the halo of her musing brow, night's splendid with the moon gleaming in heaven, in silver peace, possessed her luminous ring. She brooded through her stillness on a thought, deep guarded by her mystic folds of light.
Thanks to Sri Aurobindo.